New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH TNA post show for Thursday, December 5th. We're so excited that you could join us to talk some ROH as we're on the road to Final Battle. Earlier today, this was what I did, okay? I did a BattleBots watch long. I was unreasonably excited about it. I love BattleBots so much. It's the best fed that's out there, okay? You can have your AEWs, your WWEs, you can have your New Japan. Give me some fighting robots and I'm the happiest girl in the world, okay? But I watched that and I headed over to SP3 on True Heel Heat. And I was like, see, this is what happens when you don't run from the grind. I'm streaming, SP3 streaming. We break for a meal and some returns at Kohl's and Walmart if you're me. And then we're right back at this game today, SP3. How are you? Happy holidays. What's going on?
Happy holidays, Cade. Yes, I am here. We're here to discuss some Ring of Honor. What a time. What a time to be alive with a Final Battle pay-per-view main event that was the third match on the card on an episode of Monday Night Raw back in 2012.
Let's start with that. We've been kind of switching up, or when I've been hosting with Sean's blessing here, I've been kind of switching up the way we do some reviews, and I think it's actually most important on this one to just kind of lead with the most noteworthy stuff, and then we'll recap everything and talk some matches and some stories, but let's dive right into this because this is what happens with me with NXT as well. I have people that don't watch the week to week that watch the PLEs and say, oh no, this is awesome. Because if you watch the PLEs, yeah, that's great. And they see Jericho versus Matt Cardona and they think, what a marquee match. And I say, it sucks. Neither guy is on the show and the title for this promotion is on the line with two guys who never show up on the show and feel, God bless them both, okay? Matt Cardona has reinvented himself on the indies. He has completely revolutionized what you can do to maximize your potential on what it means to be somebody that leaves a TV promotion and goes to the independents. He's making more money doing that than he was on television. And he isn't just on some run because he had some momentum coming out of television, right? I respect the hell out of that. And I respect what Chris Jericho has done for pro wrestling for the past decades. This is the most anti-ROH feeling match if you're a fan of the actual promotion and you watch the week-to-week stuff. Not only because they're not on the show, as far as the entire spectrum of pro wrestling, and it is wide and there is value in all of it, ROH was built on the spirit of in-ring competition. Like, it's as close to a blend of American and Japanese and European style as you can get. There's physical and mental chess like you get in Europe. There's struggle through sport like you get in Japan. And then there's American moral storytelling. Those are not defined by me. Those are defined by Chris Hero, who I think has figured something out about this business. Okay? What was great about ROH and what was a standout about ROH is it was built off of stories that were told in the ring and off of wins and losses. You can't tell those stories if you're not on the show. Quite frankly, this is more of a build than we get sometimes because they were both here. But like, there are so many strengths that Matt Cardona has. He's not like, when I think of him, the first thing that jumps off the page is not like his in-ring is the most outstanding thing about him. And Jericho at this phase of his career, I'm sorry. Like when I watched him in Hook, I just watched him like sandbag all of Hook's suplexes because he can't jump anymore because he's not good at this anymore as far as the in-ring goes. And they've done a good job compensating for that with Plunder matches. And I thought the stuff with Mark Briscoe was, to me, it reads like if you're a pitcher that was a fastball pitcher for a long time and now you have to become a finesse pitcher because you lost 5 miles an hour on your fastball, you have to switch the game up. That's what you got to do when you're in the phase of the career that Chris Jericho's at. But it feels so anti the spirit of what ROH is supposed to be. And I swear to God, if this goes on last instead of Athena, I'm leaving early if I go. I will be apoplectic. And I'm going to say this to sound dramatic, even though it's not true, because my family holiday party's that weekend. So I'm just going to dramatically say, like, I don't even know if I'm going to be there anymore. Because it's true, but it's not because of this. But I feel like as a white girl, I get to be dramatic. So I feel like you know, it's so disappointing. It's just a slap in the face to the people that are on this roster. I feel like I say that every week. Yeah. It does sound like TV is coming. Maybe Matt Cardona is being scouted for that. I don't know. But I'm sorry. They're both great wrestlers. I appreciate what they both have done. I couldn't give less of a crap about this. I really don't. And whether you want to hypothesize on whether it's some make good with GCW or whatever, to be perfectly honest, we're out of the swear jar window, right? I don't give a shit about whether AEW and GCW like each other or not. I don't care. I don't care if Effie thinks Tony Khan stinks. And I don't care if Tony Khan thinks Effie smells. I don't want it determining ROH pay-per-view world championship matches. I don't care. I don't. I really don't. If this is because Ricky Starks got pulled and they're doing some make good with Cardona, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to GCW at Hammerstein this year. I don't care. Like, I really don't care about the relationship between AEW and GCW. I care, and I really don't care about how that shows up on ROH. I couldn't care less about that. This sucks. I'm sorry. And I understand that there are people that are excited about it, and I say, be excited about whatever you want to be excited about in wrestling. That's awesome. But as someone that watches and reviews this show every week, and of all the chances that this promotion under Tony Khan's umbrella has had a chance to make rising stars, why the hell is Shane Taylor calling for title shots he's just never going to get? Why are they losing tonight after calling out the trio's champions? Why? I've been told injured Von Erich is out 6 months. I wasn't told that by Sean. So just confirming, that's not a report. But from someone I definitely trust. What is going on? And it's so frustrating because SB3, there was stuff on here that I was so excited about. Trish Adora getting to wrestle and win.
I was like, they're trying to make up to Kate because they got to do this segment later. They was like, hey, we're going to throw you a bone. So yeah, there was stuff that I knew you did enjoy on this show.
They gave me one of my favorite throwback matches that we've ever gotten to see. So that was rad.
I was there live for that.
I knew you were, USOV. I knew you were. But there's good stuff on the show. Rachel Elring and Harley Cameron, as an odd couple duo, sign me up for the rest of my life. Like, I am so in with that. But then we get to the main event, and there's a tag team that basically broke up in the Diamond Dozen Battle Royal yesterday, defeating Shane Taylor Promotions. Like, the thing that frustrates me about this is it feels like what happens with the women's division in AEW and just what happens in wrestling in general, where it's like, I just feel like they don't care. That's how it reads. Because the things are so simple and fixable that if you cared even the smallest bit, just the smallest bit, half of the show would be so much better. So much better. Ian Riccaboni, God bless him today, said about the Dark Order, you know, I don't know. It's hard for us to know because the Dark Order can't choose between, you know, acting with respect and listening to the devil on their shoulder. They are flat out not telling that story. They're just booked like shit. And Ian Riccaboni is trying to cover their tracks as beautifully as possible. Like, it's such a disappointment. It's such a disappointment. So, what are your thoughts on Jericho and Cardona? Do you care that AEW, GCW work together? Like, it doesn't mean anything to me if these children with money, like, fix their problems or don't. Like, I don't care.
what do I care? Other than making content. I mean, it was good for last week for my podcast to talk about Ricky Starks being in the middle of a AEW GCW war. But I think my good friend Jimmy Macaram says it best: Big Bank always beats Little Bank. WWE will do that to AEW and any other company. AEW is trying to do it to GCW. If they make good, who cares? Does it really affect what I'm watching? No. Other than this not making a whole bunch of sense. And it's not the fact that this is Final Battle, the biggest Ring of Honor pay-per-view of the year historically. It's not the fact that this is Ring of Honor's return to the Hammerstein Ballroom for the first time in 5 years. You know, that same building that had such great Ring of Honor World Championship main event matches as Bryan Danielson versus Kenta, Kevin Steen versus El Generico, Tyler Black versus Roderick Strong, and now we got Chris Jericho versus Matt Cardona.
Not just Chris Jericho, 50-year-old Chris Jericho.
50 in 2024. Yeah. In 2024, we got Chris Jericho. And look, that's the thing, because I think that, you know, people might, you know, come in like the middle of your rant and be like, oh, this is just directed at Jericho and Cardona. No, I feel like a lot of this is directed at Chris Jericho, because I 100% think that Matt Cardona versus Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship, that sounds like a Hammerstein Ballroom main event, because Cardona can play the role of the invader heel that's coming in, who's different from everything in Ring of Honor.
Can he be on the show for 3 weeks first? That's all. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm actually okay with a guest star. It's Ring of it's Final Battle. It's Hammerstein Ballroom.
Here's why I'm not.
I'm not okay with it being Jericho, who he's against, because Jericho is so not Ring of Honor. There's no one who represents Ring of Honor in this matchup on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
I think the reason I'm not okay with the guest star thing is because we do that with this world title all the time. It's just someone from the AEW main roster instead of ROH. How is ROH supposed to feel like its own product if you just keep, for the world title, having a world champion who's never on the show until right before the pay-per-view, and he faces someone that's never on the show? Ever. They've never had a title handoff that has gone to someone that is predominantly on the ROH roster since this was taken over. It's ridiculous. How are you supposed to make new stars? How are you supposed to make new stars on AEW television if your hybrid developmental program doesn't have a men's singles division that makes any sense? How is Shane Taylor, who has such a fantastically high ceiling and the potential of someone with a stick like Eddie Kingston, like, will make you care about anything and feel real. You don't call him during a natural disaster, he's going to bring it into a promo and he's going to make you cry about it. He has that natural ability. No, he's going to call out for two title shots and we're just going to not give him either. What are we doing? Ridiculous. I understand what you're saying. Like, biggest show of the year, getting a marquee name is cool. If it was Mark Briscoe versus Cardona, I'd be more warm to it. But think of literally anything else to do with this world championship than have somebody who's not on the show face the guy. Like, that's it. That's the only play they've run in the 3 years that this has been under the Tony Khan umbrella. It's ridiculous.
They've only had one really kind of feud for the, well, two, I guess you can say, is Jericho and Claudio, and then Claudio and Eddie Kingston. Those are the only really two feuds that they've had for the Ring of Honor world title in the 2 years that he's had this. I feel like the whole plan for ROH, I didn't get it from the beginning. I got told by people that they're gonna treat it like Dark for a year and a half or 2 years before they make it like a real developmental, and I'm still not seeing that vision. It seems like they're just gonna be random matches and it's gonna go nowhere. And I don't have that light at the end of the tunnel. I know the light at the end of the tunnel is they're gonna get TV, but if we're still gonna be on the same cycle of three pay-per-views a year. You only care about the pay-per-views 2 to 3 weeks out. You start building matches at that point. You announce the event 3 weeks out. It's very weird. It just feels like an afterthought the way it's booked and treated. And it's not good.
I think TV will help because I think it would force the hand of a dedicated creative team. I could also see them not being a touring promotion if they became TV. I could very much see them going the studio setup. And they are always, always, always better in that case.
Yes.
I think we were close with another world title feud, but Mark Briscoe getting injured the first time around kind of messed things up. I think we were getting close to that, but it has been a very, very dry well. Very, very dry well. And we know they're capable of doing it because they do it on the women's side. Why they just choose to not do it on the men's side is weird to me, but not great. Well, guys.
I forgot Mark Briscoe and Chris Jericho. That's technically a feud too. So two of the three has been Chris Jericho.
Probably my favorite Jericho match is honestly, since he's been doing the Learning Tree stuff, It's just so disheartening when it feels like the spirit of ROH has been so abandoned. It bums me out that this is like, if this promotion was just a mess and not under the letters of my favorite promotion, I wouldn't care like nearly as much as I do. But right now, with the wrestling space being so oversaturated, what ROH actually is supposed to be and offered, would be a real palate cleanser. But the other thing is, I'm not super in love with the AEW product right now. So the idea of ROH getting its own TV makes me a little nervous. And the idea of Shockwave possibly coming makes me nervous. I'm not confident. I'm confident if there's a whole creative team and maybe loosening of the reins a little bit, it could go somewhere in the right direction, but it needs to happen.
I'm all for taking breaks. I was one of the first people, podcasters, who was like, Chris Jericho needed to take a break like last year. And I'm going to be one of the first, or I think I'm not the first because I think I've heard a couple of people say this, but Tony Khan needs a break. I think that all bookers need a break. They need to take a couple of months off, get away, pass the reins to somebody else. And then you can come back. You can come back refreshed with new ideas, but you just need to take a break. I understand that asking you to just step away completely is a far-fetched thing, but I think it's more realistic and more likely to just ask to take a break. Just take a few months.
Well, I think that's not happening during C2 season for sure, because that guy loves his
I mean, it's already booked. It's already booked. He books it.
We hope so. We hope so. Injuries happen, as we saw, right? So
they just said, hey, you know what? Juice is going to lose a bunch of these matches. Who can lose a bunch of these matches? Commander, here you go.
Juice was going to lose out or pick up like one win or a draw. We'll have Commander do the same thing. So I don't know, man. Those guys who couldn't manage a Target should book the show. Let's see if somebody who works at Target can book a wrestling show. We know it can't go the other way. Why not see if this, right? If the forbidden door is truly open, SV3.
It should swing both ways.
You know what? I'm sure like Jeff, who's just trying to manage his Target during the holiday season and is exhausted, would be like, you know what? Let me take a swing at booking some pro wrestling. Let's see what happens. Why not? Guys, we are coming in hot on ROH Final Battle. Get in your super chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video and please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is a good week to be a Fightful Select subscriber. We were just talking a little CM Punk-ish. We were mostly talking about Target, but a little CM Punk adjacent. We did see an unfortunate report that went up about Ryan Nemeth and some of the reporting protocol that did or didn't happen via AEW regarding CM Punk's behavior, don't auto-complete the details in your head and start making it about CM Punk. It's much more about Nick Nemeth and the way that AEW did and didn't handle that. So there's something you are going to want to read the details of. This is one of them. Some stuff you can get headlines from, and I get it. You don't necessarily need to pay for that. So-and-so signed at this place. We appreciate the support on those stories because it's how we get paid. But like, this is one that you're going to want the details of. Clarity around Penta and Ray Phoenix's contract status is up, mostly that Penta is gone, but you can read about the details of Ray Phoenix. And some injury news that was posted earlier today on Jade Cargill. Still a little hazy, but it does seem like a legit injury, so you're going to want to read about that on Fightful Select as well. And also about Hologram. I really thought Harley Cameron and Harley Graham and Hologram were all the same wrestler, to be honest. So
Harley Cameron is not Harley Graham. I just want to get the people are confused. I
don't think, yeah. Sean's still working on that one, I think. So yeah. we're gonna get to the bottom of all that. But subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Plenty more to come, more contract news on the way as well. So head over to FightfulSelect.com. I do want to shout out a few things. One, we very quickly went from 119,000 followers or subscribers on YouTube to 121,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you. We were like hovering around that 120,000 mark. And then 2 days later, we were at 121,000 subscribers. So thank you so much for that. Over 17,000 Patreon Fightful Select subscribers combined between our free tier and our paid tier. So just an overwhelming amount of support. I am so thankful. I say all the time that I get to ride Sean's coattails because it really is all on the back of Sean's reporting what we get to do here. So just very appreciative of that, especially around the holidays. We appreciate that support. Also on Fightful Select, if you want to participate in voting for the Fightful Awards, that is a subscriber-specific privilege. So it helps us keep some of the riffraff out of like, Kenny Omega is God or Roman Reigns forever. Can't just like vote all for their favorite promotion. You gotta be a little more nuanced than that. Get behind the paywall. But we appreciate that. And we're going to have some fun awards this year. Working on some fun stuff. So let's finally dig in to this episode of ROH. We start off with your New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Champions, Grizzled Young Vets. They're picking on people for eating cake, which just feels wrong, man. What's wrong with eating cake?
Food off his family table. That could have been something for his daughter. How dare he?
You are the New Japan Strong Tag Champions now, okay? You took them from my guys. You took them from Shane and you took them from Mikey. You want to talk about taking things off of people's tables. You dethroned my TMDK, okay?
They should have held on to them tighter.
World Tag League is happening right now. I can only pray, okay? But first you're being mean to TMDK, who are like my faves. And now, what's so wrong with eating cake? Let them eat cake. A very famous phrase from a very famous woman in history, okay? Come on. Why can't backstage hands eat cake? I think that's rude.
I think that cake is reserved for the grizzled young veterans, and I think that they were right to admonish them. They are the locker room police, and I respect their badge.
I don't think cake is something that's very grizzled. I think that's very delicate and beautiful and delicious.
Yes, so it should go to those people who are grizzled on the outside, so it can affect them more on the inside.
I feel like we should appreciate our backstage hands more and they should be allowed to eat cake. That's just me. But look, we don't have to agree on everything here, SP3. I'm just saying. First they come for Shane and Mikey and now they're coming for backstage hands. Rude. Rude. But what I am excited is to see GYV put on a track instead of losing to the Outrunners for no reason. And I am very excited to see this continual crossover with New Japan Strong. Been pushing for that. I hope it continues because these two brands could benefit a lot from each other because I feel like the presentation should be kind of mirrored a little bit, and New Japan Strong doesn't have weekly television and ROH does. So I think ROH talent showing up on some New Japan Strong cards could be really excellent. And I think the talent exchange of New Japan Strong talent showing up here could be something that's really cool. And in GYV's case, they overlap. So not mad about that at all, especially in the tag picture, because all of our tag and multi-man title picture is just like held hostage by Dustin Rhodes, basically.
Just in one house, in one Van Erich. That's all it ever sees. Damn shame.
GYV made Shane Hayes cry. We didn't see it, but I'm assuming it happened. I bet it did too. And Shane, just let Shane twerk and do, like, you know, really cool drop kicks and Olivia Newton bombs. That's all I want. But Shane Monster saying, TMDK, SP 3 Mile Island. Want to know how much TK cares about ROH? Look how often he posts about it. Bleak caring, Athena mains, or we riot. I am kind of confident that Athena will main. Like, I don't even know if she's going to lose. I think they might save that for TV. I think this Wrestle Dynasty stuff might throw a wrinkle in all of that. But I think she main events Final Battle, because they've let her do it before. This is their biggest pay-per-view, and it might be the most crucial match in her reign, really. Certainly. The one of the past year or so. Are you optimistic about that? I think we could get a co-main event where the guys go on first, or Jericho and Cardona could open this up.
Yeah, I think they probably booked this as a double main event. Watching this episode, I was like, they're definitely probably going to make the announcement for Athena's matchup on next week's show, considering we got the International Women's Cup qualifier that week. I feel like that match is going to set up that Ring of Honor Women's World title matchup. And Athena has the main event. I mean, the Ring of Honor pay-per-views are always great when Athena main event. So it's only right. And especially with the return to Hammerstein Ballroom and how important Athena has been as the face of this brand, I think she deserves that honor.
I agree. And since we're talking about main events, we might as well talk about the main event players as well. Very happy to have them sponsoring the show. Just a really, really great, genuine group of guys in the content creation space. We always appreciate when they support us, and we want to throw that love right back at them. We're going to have Sean Ross Sapp tell you a little bit more about them, but check out a lot of the fantasy booking stuff they do and the eFed work that they do. Really, really fun stuff, but it's such a crowded space, and sometimes it's tough to find just really genuine voices that you connect with. These guys are good ones.
Hey guys, I want to tell you all about the Main Event Players, a group of content creators who have banded together to change the game. They've got their Outside the Brand podcast on YouTube, where they give weekly previews and predictions for wrestling and sports. I've got my notifications turned on, so whenever they go live, I get that notification on my phone. It makes it so easy. Great dudes, lots of charisma, just a great feel when you watch their show. And something else that I really liked, they do eFed stuff as well, which was a big passion of mine. So I really want you guys to check that out. Also, the Wrestling Room podcast on Spotify. A great concept. A wrestling couple takes their everyday conversations and records them for the world to hear. Something a little bit different than what you're used to. And if you want something new, you want something fresh, you want something different, check out the Main Event Players. Check out the Outside the Brand podcast. Check out the Wrestling Room podcast. YouTube, Spotify, they are they're all over the place. I'm stumbling all over my words talking about how all over the place they are. Check them out. The Main Event Players.
See, this is why I had to go corner the market on BattleBots watch longs, because they're doing such better work than I could ever even attempt to be doing with eFed stuff. And they really are. They're a really refreshing voice in this space. But check them out. It's always the best when we have people that feel like being associated with Fightful is going to be beneficial to them in some way. And it's just very much appreciated that they chose to support us, that they chose to support this show. They know there's sickos watching if you're tuning into an ROH post show, and that they're going to be like real fans. So go give some real fan ears to what they're doing as we move along in this ROH episode. We do have our first match of the night here with Shibata and Alex Reynolds. Evil Uno at ringside here. Katsuyori Shibata, I wrote down that he won with the penalty kick, but did he? He actually won with the octopus dress, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just so used to the PK, I guess. But I liked him winning with the octopus dress stretch here. And I also really love that Alex Reynolds got to show out what he's capable of. Like, a lot of times when we've seen the Dark Order, multi-man matches are great. I love him and Silver as a tag team. I actually wish they would get a proper push in that way. But with someone like Shibata, it just pulled out a different side than we usually get to see with Reynolds. A lot of times it's him kind of working in support or in complement to what John Silver's doing. And he just kind of got to show out here and get back to some more pure wrestling roots than we normally get to see from him. And it was a really, really nice showcase for him in this. I felt like Shibata winning, fine. Like, no problem with that. He's Shibata. But I appreciated that this was a different side of Alex Reynolds than we normally get to see.
Yeah, he was showing off a little bit more of this grappling, going more on the mat with Shibata. So it was cool to see him in this role. I just want to ask him, is he the new Diamond Dallas Page? Because how long is his ribs going to be taped up? It's going on to Diamond Dallas Page levels because it's already been a month. Bang. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with Shibata because they've been using him more often as of late on ROH TV. That makes me think, especially considering that we get the announcement for the Pure Championship next week, that we probably can get the winner of that facing Shibata for the Pure title at Final Battle.
I agree. I think that'll be one to keep your eye on. I feel like they are running a little bit dry on things to do with Shibata other than have him sniff around the Pure title. But at the same time, whenever I see those matches, I'm always blown away. So it just feels like the right guy in the right type of match whenever Shibata's in them. But I can't wait to see that either. And I also can't wait to see Alex Reynolds' yoga program when that's ready to come out. So look, if you have the DDP ribs taped up, you gotta have the yoga program ready to go. This right behind it.
Dark yoga.
Perfect. Perfect. I love it. No shade at DDP yoga, by the way. I got my ass in gear over the pandemic. I was looking good when I was doing that. So I need to probably get back to my DDP yoga, honestly. But we move along to Waves and Curls, who lose to JD Drake and who?
Beef. I didn't know what I needed on a Thursday night was some beef waves and curls.
There you go. We do even get a little a short-lived but very important to wrestling dance break in this. Very, very fun. Waves and Curls, I would love to see Waves and Curls get signed if ROH does inevitably get TV here, but they take the pinfall here with that assisted Beef Brigade. Beef is really pushing hard to be like, look, if you're the friend of a second cousin to me, you're a second cousin in my eyes. So I appreciate this. I'm so glad to see JD Drake back, man. Like, he's so great. And the workhorse men have just had such a tough year of injuries. And then JD Drake, or I'm sorry, Andy Henry getting released and then coming back, obviously. Like, it's been a wild 2024 for them. I hope in 2025 they have a ton of success and health because they deserve it. I love that tag team. But I know you love some Beef, and I love Beef and JD Drake together. Why not? Let's do it. Let's have some fun. What did you think of the match that we got here? This was one of the things on the card that was just, I was like, this is just kind of fun. This is just kind of fun to watch.
Well, cousin, I love watching a match where I just smile. I just smile the whole time. That's what this match was, especially the ending with that big backsplash against the ropes that Beef does. And then the Meat Brigade, or the Beef Brigade, as they called it on commentary here. Shout outs to Daddy Magic, who calls it the Kentucky Meat Shower. Beef Brigade, I think, is better for the sponsors and sure, the ad reads. But I like Beef and JD Drake together. I think the long term of this is going to be a Beef J.D. Drake, and Anthony Henry when he's healthy, finally becoming a trio of cousins and going after the trios championships and saving them from the dastardly heels of Dustin Rhodes and the Van Erichs, who never show up on this show. Chris Jericho shows up more on this show than the Von Erichs. How dare them? How dare them call themselves Ring of Honor champions? Beef deserves a championship, and he's coming for the six-man tag team titles.
One of them is Van injured, so we have to be aware of that. But like, they need to do something then with the six-man title. So
I would think if someone's injured, whether it be, you know, on WWE, you said earlier, Fightful Select, the best $5 in the game, had an update on Jade Cargill, the legitimacy of her injury. She's a champion in WWE. Can't have, you know, Bianca out here looking kind of funny with tag team titles, but I only see one of y'all. And then you got over here with the Von Erichs. If one of them is injured for 6 months, it's time to strip them of the six-man tag team title. You already went, what? It's been 2 months since the title defense. This usually stripped. Where's J.J. Dillon? Where's Nick Bockwinkle? If this was WCW, they'd be stripped of this damn titles by now.
You know, it was kind of hurt that you just didn't, you kind of no-sold my Von injured thing. I thought that was very clever to me. But if you're going to bring it back with the Nick Bockwinkle reference, I can't be mad. I can't hate on that at all, so. Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, like, Dustin already has a different title, so apologies to the Von Erichs, but, like, it's gonna be okay if we strip you of these titles. You'll get back, and Dustin Rhodes already has a whole other thing to do, so. We move on to something that was fun, but, man, did this just feel way too long to you? We have, as Luis, our great moderator, calls him, the total nonstop arseholes, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh, with Karen Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt there as well, for an ad for a future Black Machismo action figure, which I gotta say, Jay Lethal has an incredible impression of Macho Man there. But QT Marshall interrupts and he says, "Hey, I've been all over SportsCenter. I sold out the Prudential Center. I've been on Fallon. I've been all over the place. I'm taking the wrestling world by storm. If you want to get back on ROH, who better to fight?" And Jay Lethal says he has his eyes on a bigger fish. And it took me not that long to summarize that. It felt like it took 10 minutes for the segment to happen. I don't know why it felt like it went on so long. I did actually like how it was people kind of naturally entering and exiting a room. Like, yeah. It was a very easy setup, but it just felt very long to me. I don't know. But I actually think QT Marshall deserves way more credit than he gets for some of the work that he does. He's incredible at getting audience reactions. He carried Big Justice, or I'm sorry, AJ. Big Justice is the little guy, right? I always get him confused.
He sold that spear. He sold that spear like
he sold that spear. Justice was up on the top rope, man. And QT is helping him out in that match. I think he deserves way more credit than he gets personally, but I like that they capitalized on that momentum a little bit. This was good stuff, but this was a very long segment to ultimately say that Jay Lethal has said thanks, but no thanks to QT Marshall's request to come back to ROH. Like it felt long.
It did. But I wouldn't mind this as a final battle match. Like, when I saw it taking shape, as soon as I saw QT Marshall, I was like, look at that. Two Ring of Honor legends going face-to-face. Because people might not know, but QT Marshall, I first discovered him in Ring of Honor.
There you go.
A Ring of Honor original. So back in the Hammerstein, I was there. I've seen him live in Hammerstein Ballroom. So I want to see him again. I want him to sell out. Hammerstein Ballroom, the man who single-handedly sold out Prudential Center, is now going to verse Jay Lethal in New York City final battle. But I am interested in who the aforementioned bigger fish is. Is it Mark Briscoe? Yes. Is it someone else? I mean, I would say when you say bigger fish and it's AEW roster, I would be like Bryan Danielson. But we know that Brian is out with the neck injury and stuff like that. Ooh, Samoa Joe.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Samoa Joe would be a good one. Samoa Joe would be a great shot. That would be a fun place for him to return. I really thought he was going to do that on Dynamite because Hook just looked like an idiot. He was like, surely there will not be a numbers game here as I come out to the ring. I was like, oh, great, Samoa Joe's coming back. And then just nobody ran him off. Hook is just stupid, apparently.
But I was like, Hook, you don't got no friends? You've been hanging out with every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the AEW roster.
Orange Cassidy, Shibata, Danhausen.
Like, you can't find one of these guys to have your back against the patriarchy? I was like, he got no friends. Security don't like him. The referees don't like him. What are we doing?
His dad doesn't even care enough to come back from his knee surgery, man. That's just flapping in the wind out there. I was like, oh, sick, Samoa Joe. And then he just never came back. So, but I'll tell you something that's really good, SP3. You're not going to believe this. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this. I'm putting together the rundown. And it didn't say a bunch of people with Trish Adora. It said Trish Adora with a bunch of people, with Shane Taylor and Carly Bravo and Sean Dean and Lee Moriarty versus Rachel Ellering in what was a fantastic match and kind of proved the thing that I've been saying on here, that Trish Adora should be wrestling regularly because she's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world and she should be in title contention because she's excellent. And her and Rachel Ellering, I thought this was super, super fun. Rachel was great in this too. Larry Tubman for the win for Trish Adora, but like, every time they let her wrestle, which is once every 2 months for some reason, I'm like, she's great. Like, she's just an excellent pro wrestler. Everything about her is fun to watch. Her energy, the way she moves in the ring, the way she tells stories. From the second she steps out from behind the curtain to the second she walks back, I love what I'm seeing from her. So this was good. Rachel Ellering was a fun opponent from her. I think kind of similar in size and strength and not always the case for both of them facing other women, more so in ROH. Like there's a lot of women that are, kind of more athletic statures. And even when you're facing someone like Layla Hirsch, because her wrestling ability and moveset is not like high flyer or whatever. Like I feel like the matchups are more believable and competitive a lot of times, but this was great. Keep Trish Adora wrestling. It's really not rocket science. She's great. You can make a bunch of money with her. She's fantastic. She's a huge star. Like, I don't know why they don't treat her like one, but that's what she is. So, and we're going to talk about this Harley Cameron segment in a minute, because this was a loss that aided what's coming up next for Rachel Elric. I always feel like the measure of a really good or a great match is, did the win mean something and did the loss mean something? In this case, we got both. So this is all W's for me. What did you think?
Yeah, this was probably the best segment of the night, because it was the one thing that I always ask for on this show is matches I don't know the winner to automatically upon seeing it. And this was a rare case of that with Rachel Ellering, who has been featured in Gotten Wins, Gotten Squash Wins in the past on Ring of Honor TV, and Trisha Dora, who, yes, is freshly kind of on a heel in a heel faction with Shane Taylor Promotions, but she so rarely ever wins. Yeah. I had no type of way to believe that this was going to be a win for her. So I went in with just not knowing who was going to get the victory here, which made me more engaged on who was going to get the win. In the end, it was Lariat Tubman that picked up the victory for Trisha Dora. And I really loved how she's kind of fully embraced her heel role. Like, she's talking trash in the matchup. She's like calling out the different moves she's doing. She's like, yeah, y'all seen that before. And then she does the submission. And she's like, I know y'all seen this before. Like, it was just fun. It's fun kind of seeing her kind of like just get into the whole type of different character that she's playing now that she's in Shane Taylor Promotions. So I love saying that through this matchup. Rock solid bout from both ladies. And yes, I do agree. I like the fact that Trisha Dora gets momentum coming out of it, as well as Shane Taylor Promotions. And she's got all the momentum in Shane Taylor Promotions, because we're going to talk about what happened in the main event. And then the loser of the matchup, Rachel Ellering, they kind of touched on it on commentary, her whole story and friendship, partnership, rivalry with Harley Cameron. It's been fun to watch with the backstage segments that they do.
Well, Rachel Ellering does take the loss, but the good news is she is not a banana and she's not a thumbs up, but she still is the top dog around here. This is just, I am so like pleasantly surprised and blown away by the rise of Harley Cameron this year. Like, it is nuts. Of all the people that I thought might be like breakout star, whatever, Harley Cameron, I actually thought she was the best part of QTV when that was a thing. But my goodness, like a minute maximizer every time she's on screen, and pretty damn good in the ring, especially considering how few matches she's had. It's really unreal. But Lexi Nair interviewing Rachel Ellering, but they get interrupted by Harley, who wants to give a trophy to Rachel. And she first hands her a thumbs up and says, no, that's for Orange Cassidy. And then she pulls out a banana and is like, that's for later or whatever. Says something inappropriate. That's so delightful.
She did say, that's for later.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. It was fantastic. But she finally pulls out a top dog trophy and she goes to give it to Rachel, and it turns out it's super glued to her hand, so she can't quite give it to her. Just in the same way that like a Chelsea Green, or when Bunny was around, would, or Carmella, yeah, is another one where you're just like, they just maximize every minute that they're given. Harley Cameron has whatever gene that is. She's been raised in that same way. So I loved this. And I also actually thought Rachel Ellering did a great job in this too, because I can't imagine standing next to Harley and not cracking up. So the fact that she was able to and play her role as the straight woman in this, I thought was pretty impressive, to be real. But there is a huge, huge, huge hug that happens where Lexi Nair gets smooshed by both of them. But Rachel Ellering also doing a nice job, kind of like, I see what you're doing, Harley. You're well-intentioned and I appreciate what you're going for, even though you're very weird, even though you're very odd. But really good stuff. This was an effective segment. And I like that it contextualized Rachel's loss too, as or should I say reh? Because she's reh. Still reh. Yeah. Reh.
She's just, Harley Cameron is just somebody that, even like, I know people that don't like a lot of AEW, but they like Harley Cameron. Like, that's the type of, like, she just has that entertainment factor. She knows she has a boatload of charisma, and no matter what amount of time they give her, it could be 90 seconds or 9 minutes, she's going to make the most of it, going to make it entertaining. I've very much enjoyed her mini feud with Thunder Rosa on Collision and Rampage. And I think we're going to see her grow more. And I want to see her get more reps on ROH because she's so far ahead of everybody else as far as a character. And then she just needs to catch up in the ring.
Yeah. And she ain't bad, especially considering how few reps she's had. But let me throw this at you as like an ROH thing. Okay. A lot of us have been asking for women's tag titles that float, right?
Yeah.
As an initial inaugural program, like Harley Cameron and Rhea versus Harley Graham and who? Like who do you think tags with Harley Graham? Because I feel like obviously we have to get that, right?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. You just read my mind. Mm-hmm. She needs to team with a fellow luchador.
A luchador. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had, what was it, Reina Isis from CMLL over here. We've had La Cantalina. We've had Zezusis, a fellow mass luchadora who knows exactly the experiences that Harley Graham, you know, growing up on the mean streets of Tijuana, you know, she was trained by El Generico and they came up in the business together. She was one of the orphans that El Generico helped raise after he left the wrestling business. So, I mean, I want to see Harley Graham in this tag team dream match at Final Battle.
Yeah, right at Final Battle. Yeah, I think we should do that. I just it feels like it would be a star-making performance for both Harley Graham and Harley Cameron. So, two totally different people, similar in stature. I will say I can understand the confusion, but they're definitely not the same person. So,
and they share the same first name, but Christian Cage and Brian Cage last name, and nobody confuses them.
The amount of Cages and Pages that were around this place. I mean, come on now. How many wrestlers have just been named like Mike or whatnot? You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
stop.
And no one ever says, oh, they look the same. Like, what? That's ridiculous.
Come on, man.
There's key differences. Harley Graham has a mass.
Yeah. First of all, like completely different.
Yeah.
Has a mask.
I don't think I need to add anything else.
No. Look at them side by side and tell me they're the same person. Come on now.
Exactly. So you get it.
There's a reason. There's a reason we host together. I love my job. Guys, get in those super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. We do have the TNA post show hopping on the other side of this. We were off for Thanksgiving, so thank you for hanging out with us as we return working toward Final Battle here. We are, and SP3 is finding out about this on air, so here you go. But we're gonna have Kimmy Sokol also join us on December 19th. She is so fantastic, and she's gonna exit wrestling media to focus more on the convention and the agent side of things. And we're so happy and so proud of her, but we're not going to just let her go without forcing her to be on this channel again. Okay. I'm not kidding. This is exactly how I messaged her about it. I said, look, you probably know about the Top Golf game that Sean is worse than Kimmy Sokol, who I think is 23 and the size of Thumbelina. Okay. Sean got his ass kicked by Kimmy. I said, look, the algorithm favors people that are good at Top Golf, and Fightful Channel is going to be cooked if you don't come on here because Sean does so much content and he's terrible at Top Golf. So we need our last hope is Kimmy coming on the show. So we're going to have her on to talk about ROH, very passionate about it like I am and like SP3 is. We'll do some predictions and have some fun with her before she is smarter than all of us and leaves this game for good. So God bless her for that.
But she got out at the right time.
Wise, a wise woman, way smarter than me at the young age that she's at. But I know she'll be incensed about this because she was not happy about the learning tree and Matt Cardona either. Now this isn't Cardona shade. This is much more at the booking of the program that they have here. Right. But the Learning Tree comes out. They're hosting a new edition of TV Time, which guess what? Also sucks. And they announced their challenger for the world title at Final Battle at the Mythical Hammerstein Ballroom. And Jericho says he's got something special. saying he would face someone from New York City, but didn't know who would be willing to face him, and gets interrupted by former TV digital media champion, IC champion, NWA Internet World Champion. Heavyweight Champion, GCW World Champion Matt Cardona. And Jericho says he was about to call Cardona, or he's about to call Cardona Zack Ryder, but Cardona responds saying that Zack is dead, and that he was going to be taking the title before flipping his hat in this. So I just wish that people on the show would fight for the world championship, and that the people with the world championship would be on the show. That's all. That's my biggest complaint about this. Yes, I feel like it's the main event that doesn't really fit in with the ROH spirit, but at its core, the thing that annoys me about it the most is that I just want people who are on the show to fight for the title on the show, and I want the people that have that title to be on the show.
I mean, these are fair. These are fair.
I don't think I'm asking that much, SP3.
Yeah, these are fair criticisms, because it can be changed. It's not like a complaint, where a complaint can be addressed, but these are criticisms that can be changed, and they just choose not to. The segment itself, it was a Chris Jericho segment. I said on our AEW review earlier today, I was like, the New York Minute, I was like, that was the amount of Jericho I could take on that show. I was like, that was the best Jericho segment in months, because it only was a minute. But once we went past the minute mark on this, I was just like,
nah.
I feel bad I said that earlier. Cardona didn't make it much better, because I really like Matt Cardona. I got to interview him on In the Weeds. I think that he's had one of the best kind of post WWE runs. Like, I think that people, like, in a couple of years are going to talk about his post WWE run the way they talk about Drew McIntyre leaving the company, the way they talk about Cody Rhodes leaving the company. They're going to talk about Matt Cardona in that way. But because I have watched him since he left WWE, I was like, how is this guy the babyface? Yeah. I was like, this guy is one of the best heels in the business. How is he the babyface for the ROH World Championship at Final Battle? First time back in Hammerstein Ballroom, New York City. You gotta be kidding me. Like I said, I know Kate feels different, but me personally, I would be fine with Cardona if Mark Briscoe was still the champion. And I think Kate would be fine with it if Mark Briscoe was still the champion and showing up on this show. But I don't understand why we have this match that the last time we saw it was on 2016 WWE Raw, when Chris Jericho was feuding with AJ Styles. Yes, that was the last time Chris Jericho and Matt Cardona were in the ring together. It was a mid-card match on a episode of Monday Night Raw during the Vince McMahon era 8 years ago. And now, 8 years later, Hammerstein Ballroom, that's our main event with 2024 Chris Jericho?
The other
most
thing,
overrated Chris Jericho?
I really feel like in these situations, they've gotten bailed out by the in-ring, and I don't think that's going to happen with this one.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because the key difference with all the other times they've done special guests comes in to face them, they've had people that have connections to Ring of Honor.
Yes.
That can deliver a great matchup. Case in point, Roderick Strong against Mark Briscoe.
Perfect.
At Death Before Dishonor. The Eddie and Mark Briscoe thing, that was kind of like a make good, because Mark was supposed to get the title shot the year prior.
You were never able
to do that. But like any other time you've brought in a special guest, it's been someone connected to Ring of Honor. Last Final Battle had Bryan Danielson's last Ring of Honor matchup in that six man with the BCC versus FTR and Mark Briscoe. And this year, the special guest is Matt Cardona.
I can't believe we had Bryan Danielson and FTR the last one. And this year,
this year in Hammerstein Ballroom. Like this is the issue. It's like a compound issue. You have your issue of the champions not showing up, and you know, the challenger who just shows up gets the title shot. That's not really a story, and they've done this way too many times. My issue is more of Chris Jericho being the champion in general. And what are you doing facing another guy who's a former WWE star? No matter, you know, or you could consider him a GCW star. Like, I don't see him anything. There's nothing relating to Ring of Honor involved in this matchup. That's my main issue here. And then there's also the compound issue of, this would have been fine if this was in Texas, like last year's final battle. You want to do it in a 10,000 seat building where only half of the arena's full, and you want to do that, Matt Cardona and Chris Jericho, that's perfectly fine. You ain't going to come back to my Hammerstein ballroom and give me no goddamn Zack Ryder versus Chris Jericho.
The reason our background changed was I was looking for a clip that we have of when Reg was on the show, where he has one where he says, funny guy, Tony Khan, funny guy. And then he also has one that just said, boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. And I was looking for those. But you know what I did come across? Is this Fightful Select promo.
I'm
going
to need $5 from each one of you right now.
The only GCW star I would have accepted as Chris.
I was just going to say, if we're opening up to GCW's best, at least we got a drop toehold out of Sean. We got this chat from Cody. Thank you so much. Saying, let Cardona win and defend the title on GCW. It won't change the ROH product at all, and it might get more eyes on the product. Just burn it down. Just burn it down. Here's my alternative, is have somebody that's on ROH get some wins and then tell a story and then have a title match and have Jericho lose it. For example, this is a wild thought. You know how nobody likes the Learning Tree? Like, nobody? Mm-hmm. You could have the younger guys who are supposed to be the things that are, like, the people that are getting over in this, right? Say that they feel stuck in the Jericho vortex for real and start to pick up some wins in ROH. And you could have Big Bill beat Jericho. Just as an example.
That would work.
Or
Brian Keith. I'll accept Brian Keith.
Or my Brian left Keith pinky toe. I'm so, ugh.
I'll take any of these young stars, please.
The Dark Order cut a promo before John Silver comes out of nowhere. And he says that he stole GYV's robes. So, you know what? You keep people from eating cake. This is your comeuppance. You get your robes stolen. So, I could sign up for a GYV Dark Order program. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun. Silver and Reynolds versus Drake and Gibson.
That would be a good match. That would be very, very fun. Gates of Agony are here, and they defeat Preston Vance and Griff Garrison with the Open the Gates. Gates of Agony really emphasizing, like, hey, we're getting a lot of wins. So I think they will be in line for a title shot. I would love it if the Righteous won and their first defense was against Gates of Agony. That could be, like, a very fun way to go about business.
I'm hoping they tape some matches on that Christmas Collision in Hammerstein.
Yes.
I'm hoping they tape matches for the following weeks of Ring of Honor TV.
Raphael saying Harley Graham's tag partner La Generica is the sister of El Generico.
La Generica.
I love it. Guys, we're coming down the home stretch. Get in your super chats. We've got Joel and I think Cresta on the other end of this show. Joel seems to be broadcasting from the library, which is just fun. So he's going to read you a story. It's going to be better than the one, like, that Janae is telling.
Is he like Lori Beth from All That? He's that librarian?
Joel Pearl Dinberg? Yep. Quiet! This is a library!
Library!
Legend. We've got Billy Starks and Lady Frost with a stacked pin. Billy getting the win. Great to see Lady Frost. She's always excellent. She's been wrestling all over the world. If you're wondering why she hasn't been on ROH, she's been a little bit of an international traveler, the cold one. But obviously, Billy's going to win. We're building toward a pretty well and long-told story here, so they're not going to be derailing that with Billy getting losses if Athena's not causing them in some way here. But decent enough match. What did you think?
This was fine. I thought that Billy worked really well in this one and showing more of kind of just being a competitive instead of kind of like the cocky heel that she had been being in like her previous couple of matches. So I like seeing like the fighting spirit from her a bit and then getting the win by being the better wrestler. That was good for her as well. But I think like the big moment that we've been asking for, that I've been pleading for, it's going to happen exactly when I said it was, because I said they're probably not going to make this match official until like 2 weeks before.
Yes. Which that one I'm a little more okay with, because they've been telling the story for like 100 years. So if you don't want to make it official until a couple weeks before, that's fine by me. But we do have a vignette recap of the Sons of Texas and the Righteous. And then we get the announcement that the Sons of Texas will be defending those ROH tag title belt against the Righteous at a Texas Bull Rope match, which will be so fun and really nice that they're continuing, because Dutch went so far out of his way to talk about the bell there. Yeah. It's nice that that is paying off in this way. Like if you bring up Dusty Rhodes, you should probably be paying it off, and they are. So some good stuff there.
This is arguably, if not for Athena and Billy, this is arguably the best built match going into the final battle, because they've spent like the past month and a half building to it. The good promo work from the Righteous. Righteous have been on a winning streak. They've been targeting the backstage attack, the attacks after the matchup. They've been really doing a good job of building to this. It feels like the first real rivalry the Sons of Texas have had since they won the titles.
I agree with that, and it's also the only one that has these three elements. A story told to it, seeds of doubt about who might win, and what I think will be very, very good in-ring to accompany it. So, like Athena and Billy, I'm pretty confident about what way that's going to go. They could postpone it and wait till TV, but like I think it's probably Billy's moment, unless the Wrestle Dynasty tournament is throwing a wrench in that, and they want Athena to lose on that first TV. I feel like the men's singles title certainly doesn't have any sort of story with it. Like, I think that was proven tonight. So, and the trios titles don't really exist. So this is probably the one. The pure title, we'll give it a run for its money, though, I think. For sure. Guys, coming down the home stretch, getting those final super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Hey, you guys want to hear my SP3 impression? Oh, hey, we have this throwback match. I was there for this. I was there for this one at Hammerstein Ballroom. I'm SP3. I was sitting there while I watched all these legends in their prime in this promotion. La, 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 la. Aren't you jealous, Kate, is what I'm really saying, but I have it tied up in all of these fun words that talk about like I'm authentically speaking to my experience, but really what I'm doing is making Kate stew with jealousy under her skin and making her blood boil and make her want to cry.
Make her want to cry. Damn. Damn, damn, damn. But yes, I was there live for Final Battle.
Oh, were you?
I was there live for Final Battle 2008. The Nigel McGuinness, Naramichi, Marufuji matchup that happened on this show, the throwback matchup, was not the main event of that show. This show was main evented by Brian Danielson versus Takeshi Morishima in a fight without honor, the blow off to their year and a half long rivalry. And it was also the show that opened with Kenny Omega versus Claudio Castagnoli in the opener, which I had mentioned the Kenny Omega when I met him in 2018.
Oh my God. Oh, if you look on the ground, I think you dropped some names there. So you might find.
Let me get that.
You're gonna wanna grab some of those names you dropped. Truly an incredible match. And Marufuji was not someone that I got into kind of until more recently. And when I watch it, I'm like, I see how much influence he's had on modern wrestling. Like, Will Ospreay has not been quiet about that at all. But it is impressive when you see Mara Fuji in his prime and how many wrestlers you can trace their roots back to stuff that Mara Fuji's done. So this match was incredible. What's so funny with some of these throwback matches is the commentary. A lot of times, I think the ones that Caprice and Ian overdub are the ones that had like commentary that is would be like cancelable in current
states. Yeah.
This commentary was just so generic. It was just like, and there is a match going on, and one of these guys is a champion. Like, it was so generic, but it was all fine. It was all fine. Really cool to see them do a Hammerstein match in the throwback. Like, they're getting better about how they tie these in.
Yep.
Closing out here, we get this Matt Taven promo backstage saying that he was not patient before he revealed that he would be facing Lee Moriarty next week. These past couple weeks of Taven promos are some of his better work, honestly. Like, I've enjoyed them. They're a little more grounded, and I feel like him not being tied to Mike Bennett for them has been a good thing. Great news, by the way, Maria Kanellis cancer-free. So happy for that family. Wonderful news that she's been on quite the health journey, so some good stuff there. But are you excited for this? I'm actually kind of excited to see Matt, because my qualms with him are never his in-ring ability.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was kind of disappointed because I wanted this for Final Battle as well. I really
understandable
to get that Final Battle stage, and especially because I feel like Taven with like guys like a Jay Lethal, a Dalton Castle were kind of the last stars built during the last era of Ring of Honor in Hammerstein Ballroom. I would have loved for him to get that opportunity there. He still may get it on the card, but I think the story that they've been building with him trying to complete his whole kind of title catalog with the Pure Championship, I think would have been nice to go into the pay-per-view and would have gave us another match that has been pretty well built over the last couple of weeks. But I'm fine with it going down next week. Next week feels like one of the better built episodes of Ring of Honor in quite some time, with the four-way qualifier as well as this matchup. Like Taven's promo here, whenever Taven has something to sink his teeth into, it's always for the better.
We are going to close out with this match. Joel is having some technical issues on the back end, so we're going to let him sort those out, and we'll make Cresta come on here and talk to us in a minute if he's not ready, because she looks too beautiful to not have on screen. It's ridiculous. But we've got Top Flight, Action Andretti, Dante Martin, and Darius Martin with Layla Gray, for God knows what reason, beating STP here. Shane Taylor, Sean Dean, and Carly Bravo with the frog splash from Dante onto Bravo. Literally none of this makes sense if you watched AEW Dynamite last night. It makes no sense that Shane Taylor keeps calling for title shots that he is and then loses, like, and is never granted. It makes no sense that a faction that they basically told us was breaking up yesterday is perfectly fine here today. And it seems like Action Andretti is still going his own way on all this. But at the same time, like, this is a regression from what we saw 24 hours ago. What did you think of our main event? I hated the booking. I loved the in-ring. A lot of fun in-ring.
Yeah, this was a fun main event in the ring. I also don't agree with the finish to this matchup. Ugh. I also wanted to bring up, for some people that probably forgot, Infantry did start a rivalry with Top Flight during the Arlington
Takeover. Yes.
Or was that just a blur in my mind?
That was a thing.
A lot of stuff AEW and ROH does, they want to pretend like it would. No, that just happened in your mind. We're going to move on. We're not going to bring it up. We'll bring it up. We'll have the match later, but we won't address that part of it. Okay. I didn't see it. Poof, it's gone. It was nice to kind of follow up on that, even though there was no real kind of follow-up on that. But it just didn't make sense for Top Flight to get the victory here, because the whole story they've been telling with Top Flight is that they've been losing matches. Action Andretti is getting frustrated with that. So is Lio Rush. So now they're going to get together and they're going to fight Top Flight. That's literally what happened in the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal, aka the most telegraphed Battle Royal in modern wrestling history. And then we get this show here where Andretti's on the same page with Top Flight. They get the win over the Infantry and Shane Taylor Promotion, who challenged the Trios champions for the titles like 3 weeks ago, and now they're losing.
Yeah. That has all been bad. Like, the Battle Royal yesterday was bad, then this made no sense in congruent to the bad Battle Royal. The Battle Royal, we'll call it.
The Battle Royal.
Me and Normus, who rules, says, hello, bruvs, going to Dynamite in 2 weeks should be meaty. ROH seems like they're trying again. Guess I'll keep Honor Club for a bit longer. Bye, y'all. Thank you so much for your chat. I will say the pay-per-views always show out. There's very few of them, but they always show out, and they're included in the price of your Honor Club. So if you have Honor Club now, you might as well keep it for a little bit. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Honor Club once they get a TV deal. If this just goes to Max as more content, they've wanted more content. So if it's like they're on True TV and then the library lives on Max, I think that's a real possibility. Are you excited overall for Final Battle?
I'm excited for some of the matches. I'm excited for ROH to be back in Hammerstein, but I can't say I'm excited for the card just yet. That may change next Thursday when they officially announce Athena and Billy Starks, the rematch at Final Battle. So, because then we got a real main event. But for right now, with just Matt Cardona and Jericho and then the other couple of matches, can't say I'm that excited. But I am excited for the weekend at the Hammerstein Ballroom with AEW and ROH being there. So fingers crossed, I'll be there.
Agreed, agreed. We're going to bring on, I think Joel is set to come on, and Cresta is, she's a professional, so she's prepared and ready to rock and roll. But I'll let you guys add yourselves, especially since Joel's been having some audio difficulties back there. Look at you. Look at this eyeshadow game.
Look at that.
My God, Joel's eyeshadow. No,
come on, Joel. That's what was really taking long. Not the vocal difficulties, but the eyeshadow.
It's true. You have a wine encyclopedia behind you, Joel.
I do. I should probably buy a box of wine right now just to get through the issues I've had.
You know, it was funny, Joel, when we...
Did you just get done sleeping, laying on a couch and talking about your feelings?
That's crazy.
He looks like he's in a therapist's office.
Is my name Zach Harwood, SP3?
Well, I had said when we got on the show that I had done a BattleBot stream earlier, and I saw SP3 had his True Heel Heat stream earlier. And then here we are, because we're not running from the grind. Joel will put in library hours because he's not running from the grind either. That's how much he's committed to this game. And Cresta, of course, in her mansion over there, as usual. But how was TNA tonight?
There's a special next Friday.
You just got done with a thing.
That doesn't count. Boy, did we ever. That doesn't count.
So this was a Fallout and a go-home show? No, next Friday. No, next you still have another home. Episode.
Yeah, we have a show right before the pay-per-view. And it's so funny that you're talking about Hammerstein Ballroom, because Cresta Star may or may not be going to that ROH.
Well, we will see you there. Absolutely.
I might also go.
Oh, look at that.
It's a Fightful Reunion.
The whole squad up in Hammerstein. I love it. I love it.
Are we going to have a hardcore match?
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah. It'll be a New York street fight. The Canadian's going to lose. He's too nice. Sorry.
Am I what?
Are you hosting in the weeds with Jeremy tomorrow?
I wasn't aware.
It looks like you are now, pal. We're live, pal.
We're live, pal.
If I'm doing the show from here, you know that I'm not actually like doing other work.
Fair.
How much I'm committed to this game by taking the main show that I do on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
I can also hop on tomorrow if you need it, but
Oh, talk to Jeremy. He'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'll text him, but we'll get out of here and let you get underway. I know we're a little bit behind because someone other than me had technical difficulties.
Brother. Let me tell you. Hey, by the way, hey, before you guys go, are you ready to complete your mission?
What's our mission?
What's that?
Well, Joe Hendry, he's here to complete his mission.
If yeah. his mission was interrupting everybody's Spotify Wrapped, I think he completed the mission already. There were so many people that were like, I was just trying to get that dude to number one on the chart. So he interrupted my Spotify Wrapped. I love
excited,
it.
Everyone. Get excited. I love it. Joe Hendry's here to complete his mission.
Wait, not are you saying he's a man on a mission?
I'm saying he is trying to finish his story by completing his mission.
Oh, okay. That's his version.
I mean, you know, if your mind is in the gutter when you hear that, then maybe look inward. Go to the garbage chute. He's just trying to complete. Listen, one of those is trademarked, Joel.
I can't wait for Vin Diesel to show up and try to take his Bound for Glory main event spot. It's going to be great. Later, guys.
Bye.
Not Vin Diesel. I'm Joel Pearl tonight, guys.
Can I switch this over or is my computer going to completely crash?
Nah, it's all good. I'll see if I could do it for you. Hey, friendship is magic. I got you home, Skillet.
You're the best. I appreciate you. Hi, Cresta.
Hi, Joel. I see that the library's got you, gal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.